Joining us each week through the November elections, journalists Molly Hemingway of The Federalist and Mark Hemingway of The Weekly Standard.
I don't think anybody who's thinking rationally actually thinks that Donald Trump would be good on issues of marriage, abortion, religious freedom.
It's been reported that, you know, one of the few soft spots in Trump's support among Republicans is that of weekly churchgoers.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth, issues, etc.
I served the Roman Empire. I fought wars against those who did not believe in our gods. But nothing could prepare me for the truth that has now risen.
He was very special.
They're fanatics.
What was his name?
He was called Yeshua.
The man's dead. His followers are in hiding.
He's been a threat.
Take control out there and finish things.
The tomb is sealed. Guard it with your life.
If this body vanishes,
we have a potential messiah.
Where has he gone?
You tell me.
You will track down the corpse of Yeshua.
He's right here. Open your heart and see.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
Well, that's a trailer from the movie Risen. Certainly sounds compelling. The story itself, or the story purports to tell, about the resurrection of Jesus, kind of a yes or no question. Does the movie actually answer the question? Does it leave the question unanswered for the audience? And this one's getting some fairly generous reviews from probably its most critical audience, that is Christians who actually believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Out in the time of Easter, we're going to be reviewing this movie with Pastor Ted Giese for the next few minutes of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
What's wrong with most movies that try to tell the story of Jesus?
I think that one of the problems often is kind of falls into the category of isagogics. So it's essentially that they get the details of the story wrong. That's one major problem that can happen, and we'll talk about this, but this movie isn't perfect when it comes to that. But another thing, too, is often they can miss the gospel in the midst of it. Essentially, they may not get Jesus right as he is portrayed in Scripture itself. And another thing, too, is that over and over again, many of these movies stopped short of the time after the resurrection itself. So if you think of a movie like The Passion of the Christ, for instance, you get a tantalizing finale where, you know, Jim Caviezel as Christ is shown walking out of the tomb, but then that's it. So a couple years ago, we had Son of God movie, kind of a retread of the Bible, the miniseries. In that one, they actually covered material after that, but much more poorly than this film does. Essentially, sometimes they just miss the point of the resurrection and ascension and who Jesus is in the wider scope of what Scripture teaches.
What is the story that, or how is this particular film, Risen, telling the same story?
The interesting thing with this particular movie is that the way that it's telling the story is through a fictional character. So you have to remember that this is kind of in the category of historical fiction in terms of your entry into the story. So what they've done is they've created a character named Clavius, who is a Roman tribune, And tribunes are Roman soldiers that usually they have like about six centurions under them. So they would be in charge of like 600 men, something in that neighborhood, plus all the support staff, etc. So the tribune, this particular Clavus character, a fictional character, is kind of like the errand boy for Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate needs this done, he sends this guy. So essentially what you get is Clavius, Jesus' crucifixion for Clavius is just another day at the office. He's there, he sees Jesus dead. He's involved in securing the tomb, and then he also is tasked with the job of finding the body of Jesus after Easter morning, because the body's not there anymore. So he comes about it as a reasonable individual looking for a dead body, because people don't rise from the dead. So this is the entry point for the individual watching the film, because he's a character that isn't part of the story from the Bible that you know. So they're kind of coming at it from this other angle. And there are lots of Roman soldiers, or there's enough Roman soldiers in the Gospels that it's based in part on something from Scripture. But this character of Clavius is a character who then has to deal with who Jesus is when his day at the office turns into something different.
So it's essentially telling a story that could have happened. It might have happened, but we don't know if it did. Does it answer the crucial question, which is, at least for the central character of the story, does it answer the question of what did happen to Jesus' body?
Well, yeah, he finds Jesus' body, and it's not a corpse. He finds the resurrected Christ. So then he has to deal with it. And he, like, in some of the trailers you hear one of the characters, this Lucius, who's been saddled with him to, you know, kind of investigate and find the body, reading a note that he had written to Pilate. So Clavius writes this note to Pilate, and essentially he says, you know, I have something I can't reconcile here. He says, I've seen two things which cannot reconcile, a man dead without question and that same man alive again. So now he has to deal with that as a character within the story. And there would be people who had this experience. You know, St. Paul talks about how many people, there were quite a few people who actually saw the risen Jesus after the resurrection and before the ascension. So the story really has its center in a kind of a crime procedural looking for the body, and then once you found the body, B, what do you do about the fact that I found this body and it's alive? So then he's kind of saddled in with the rest of the remaining disciples as the story unfolds to the point of the ascension. And that's what you're getting in this film. So does it answer definitively whether Jesus rose from the dead? It does. Like, that is this story. That's why the movie is called Risen and not Risen? Question mark. So it seems like the mystery is finding the body, but the actual mystery is, what will Clavius do now that he's found the body? Because Clavius is not a religious. Clavius is a Roman soldier who worships Mars, the god of war. And he's got to figure out, well, what do I do? Do I still worship Mars, the god of war? Or do I worship Yeshua, the only son of Yahweh, the Jewish god?
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We'll continue our review of the movie Risen on this Thursday afternoon with him on the other side of the break. Now, this is not a story that Hollywood has not told before. It's told this story several times in movies over its long history. Does Risen add anything to a long list of movies that focus on Roman soldiers at the foot of the cross? We'll answer that question right after this.
Lutheran Talk. In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
At Concordia Evangelical Lutheran Church of Wilmington, Delaware, our mission is to serve our community by sharing Christian hope. We've been doing this since 1938 and joyfully continue to do so in the 21st century. If you're ever in the city that DuPont Chemical Corporation calls home, or is known by some as the credit card capital of the world, we hope you visit to receive Jesus through his word and sacrament. Otherwise, check us out on the web at ConcordiaWilmington.com.
The 27th Annual Congress on the Lutheran Confessions, sponsored by the ACL and Luther Academy, is April 6th through the 8th in Bloomington, Minnesota. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission will present two seminars. On Tuesday, April 5th, Pastor Rob Jarvis offers an overview of the Reformation and our confessions. On Wednesday, April 6th, Pastor Jeremiah Johnson presents Catechesis Begins in the Home, Practical Ways to Pass on the Faith to Our Children. Learn more at theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Bokum, reviewing the movie Risen. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Ted, I've got a question, because this is what, I don't even know. One form or another, this has to be at least half a dozen attempts to tell this kind of story about the so-called Roman soldier. What do they call it? Sword and sandal? Is that the genre here? It has its own genre, okay? Does this one, Risen, bring something new to this kind of well-worn way of telling the resurrection story?
I think it does, in the fact that it has a rather compelling character in this Clavius. Clavius is probably one of the better parts of the movie overall. Pontius Pilate, the actor playing Pontius Pilate, does a good job too. Clavius is played by Joseph Fiennes, who people might remember from Shakespeare in Love. He played William Shakespeare, and from the Luther movie from 2003, he played Martin Luther. He does a very good job. The idea that this person has to deal, like there was a movie years ago called The Robe with Richard Burton in it, where this is from 1953, and Richard Burton played a Roman tribune who is at the crucifixion, who ends up becoming a believer, and he was at the crucifixion. This is a fictional story again, and he's one of the soldiers who plays dice and gets Jesus's robe. And this is, and then he's haunted with images of the crucifixion afterwards, and eventually becomes a Christian. So yeah, you're right. This kind of story's been told before in Hollywood, but there's some interesting things. So one of the things I thought was very interesting was how they made Clavius not a religious, not atheistic, not cynical. He's a religious person himself, but just one who believes in Mars, the god of war. And yet he has a moment where he comes up to, where the soldiers all are. He comes up to this little niche where they've got a little statue of a votive idol, basically, of Mars, the god of war. And he leans in to pray. And for all the world, everybody passing by would think that he's praying to Mars. And yet at that moment, he actually prays to Yahweh. But it's the kind of prayer that a Roman would pray. He says, you know, show me some signs, and I will erect great buildings and temples for you, and I will, have games in your honor. You know, I will do all of these things for you. If you if you show me signs, like is this Jesus really, this Yahshua really who he is, who he says he is, or who I think he might be, and all of this whole situation. So that's an interesting element of it. And there's a conversation that he has with Pontius Pilate, where Pontius Pilate talks about praying to Minerva for wisdom. But we don't know anything about Pontius Pilate's, you know, who in the pantheon of Roman gods Pontius Pilate may have prayed to. Scripture doesn't tell us anything about that. But it's an interesting detail, because the fact that he prays for wisdom kind of points back to the actual trial of Jesus, which you only hear about in dialogue in this film. You don't see it actually unfold. So this is kind of an additional interesting element, where they kind of dig a little bit deeper into that aspect of it. And overall, what ends up happening as a result of that is that this is a movie that kind of asks the question, you know, what is it like to be moved from having no faith in Jesus to being a Christian? And this is an introspective layer that many religious films fail to embrace, really. And particularly because the character of Clavius is your entry into the movie, like your entry into the biblical story, actually. That's kind of interesting. You're not, the whole thing isn't happening at arm's length. The movie kind of invites you into the story, like to walk a mile in his sandals kind of a deal, right? So anybody who's kind of got some questions about things, you know, like they may end up asking those questions of themselves. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing, that they don't all do that. I guess on some level, the robe with, Richard Burton kind of does that too, but it came from a time in the 1950s where the general thought was is that most people were Christian anyways, you know, in North America. And at this point in time in history, it's kind of interesting because, with the rise of the quote-unquote the nuns and everything, like, how does it all shake out? And this is a movie that doesn't have that cynical edge to it. It's not trying to explain away everything. It allows Christianity to be Christianity. And there's kind of a technical reason why it's like that, because of the producers of it. But I think that's hopefully that answers your question. I think that is an additional element of it that's compelling. They use a framing device where it starts with him wandering in the wilderness, and you end back this Clavius character, and you end up with him again wandering in the wilderness. And they really leave it until the last frame of the film, almost, last frames of the movie, to tell you what he actually makes of all of this. And it's not until the very, 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 very last moment. So that's why it's the mystery kind of shifts from, like, where's Jesus's body to what is Clavius going to do with the information that he's got? And I guess then the next step is, what are you going to do with the information that you now have? Now, if you are a Christian already, you know what your standing is with the Lord, or you have your faith in him. But other people may just wander into this movie, and it may be an interesting moment for them.
Okay, talk a little bit about kind of keeping with the text of Scripture. I think for a lot of Christians, this can vary, as they watch films like this, can vary from mildly annoying, okay, they got that wrong, or they didn't even attempt to get it right, to that ruined all of this for me. And most of the time, in my experience, watching films like this, it pretty much ruins it. What was your experience watching Risen?
There are some things where you just wish that they would have it be richer and deeper and more biblically centered. Now, a lot of the movie is kind of like circling around the outside of the story of Scripture. So you have scenes where nothing in those scenes really is related directly to Scripture itself, per se. It's on the tangential end of things. But when they finally do get into the actual stuff that you would recognize from Scripture, it's not as bad as, say, like when we looked at the Bible, the miniseries, or we looked at AD, The Bible Continues, for instance, that also had a story about a Roman centurion, in that case a centurion, not a tribune, who, like Cornelius, which is highly fictionalized, in like not in a particularly helpful way. And yet that was better than that Bible, the miniseries one. Sometimes this, you are right, these things are just absolutely terrible. So there's kind of two different things that go on in this movie. On the one hand, you have kind of things from tradition in Christian history that have crept along that get in this movie that are not scriptural or not definitively scriptural, that are very weak. So, for instance, the idea that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute, a repentant prostitute. Well, that's a medieval idea, and it's not definitively Christian, like scriptural. So that's crept into the movie. Another one is we know that Jesus has a burial shroud. We do not know from Scripture whether the likeness of his face was burnt into the shroud, which in the movie they put that in, and it looks almost identical to the Shroud of Turin. So like those things are artistic licenses that Christians have had around for a long time in our own history, right? And they are kind of agitating, and some people will find that to be irritating when they watch the movie. Where I find that it's a little more complicated is that what happens in this movie is that it's not necessarily a very careful reading of Scripture itself when they made it. And that's unfortunate, because there are moments that could be much richer and deeper and more accurate. So to explain, essentially what this movie does, and if you take a step back and look at it, what you see is that they kind of sidestep the fact that these disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years prior to the resurrection, that they had been receiving instruction that whole time in the company of Christ, and that on Easter day, you know, like we know that from Scripture that the Scriptures were open to them and they now understood what was going on, right? So you have these moments where Peter is saying to Clavius, I don't know what's going on, I don't know what's going on, I don't know what's going on. Well, actually, he would. And in those moments, as a viewer who knows Scripture well, you think to yourself, you know, I really wish that Peter would say, you know, he took James and John along, me and James and John, and we went up on the side of the mountain to pray. And his face was transfigured, like his body, like his clothing shone like the whitest of white. Like, and he said not to say anything until he was risen from the dead. But now I'm telling you, because he is risen from the dead, right? Like, or they're on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and it's quiet. And Clavius could say, is he going to show up, Jesus? And Peter could say, you know, one time he walked to us on the water. He could arrive at any moment. Like, those are the moments that are kind of missing. And if you catch my meaning, those are moments that the characters should know about. But somehow it's as though they don't remember those things. So what you get then is like these holy fools who are very excited by the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead, but and to the point of kind of being giddy and goofy in some cases. Bartholomew particularly is very, you know, without guile, which kind of fits the idea that Bartholomew and Nathaniel are the same person. But, you know, like the gravity of it or the full grasp of it, the richness, deepness of it is kind of missing. So that's one of those things where, you know, you kind of wish that it was better in that regard. And some people will find that the lack of particular details or the kind of sidestepping of things or the way that it's presented is not where everybody's going to want it to be. And I understand that. And this time, less so than other times, sometimes I watch these movies and I want to crawl up and down the walls, like I can't take it. For whatever reason, I felt more forgiving as I was watching this movie. Overall, I enjoyed it more, but it is not without its quirks and, you know, omissions and mistakes. It's not as careful a presentation of the scriptural parts as you'd like.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Risen. When we come back a few more minutes with him, then Wendy Wright will join us. We'll talk about a Supreme Court decision, actually Supreme Court case coming before the court, that focuses on the harm that abortion does both to the child and to the mother. Stay tuned. I have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
The means of grace are the very thing that evangelicals are looking for.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And so in my presentation, we will talk about some of the alternative means of grace that evangelicals have created in their quest to find some kind of certainty of their own salvation. But then we will then explore back and look at what God's Word says regarding baptism, the Lord's Supper, as well as holy absolution as the means by which, you know, these are outside of us, that God gives us signs and assurance that we are forgiven and in Him and have a right standing with Him.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case for the means of grace June 10th and 11th at the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basar, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon. A few more minutes in our review of the movie Risen with Pastor Ted Giese. Then Wendy Wright will join us from the Center for Family and Human Rights based in New York. We'll talk about this case coming before the Supreme Court that focuses on the harm that abortion does to the mother as well as the child. Pastor Giese, it sounds like what you were saying before the break is if you're going to tell one of these kind of what would happen if stories, which some of the, which so many of these movies do based on the biblical text, at least tell it kind of realistically according to the rest of the biblical account when it comes to, say, Peter's reaction, the other disciples' reactions after the resurrection. These are bold witnesses to the resurrection. They're not standing around with their hands in their pockets for very long.
No, by the time you're getting a little further into the book of Acts, for instance, like they're happy to get, like they get beaten in the temple. Like they get, like they preach in the temple, they get thrown in jail, they get beaten, and they leave happy. You know that they were deemed worthy to be beaten by, by others because of the name of Jesus. So, and there's going to be some disarray or whatever. I imagine a little bit in the midst of everything as it's all unfolding. But, I would love it if they took into account a fuller, more richer, deeper, kind of all-encompassing picture of these characters. And often what you get rather instead is kind of like plaster saints. Like, and this is a hard thing to do. And like even like take a sidestep over here for a second. Like when they were making the Hobbit movies, one of the things that Peter Jackson said was challenging was you had all of these dwarves in the Hobbit movies. So, and they don't all, like, Tolkien doesn't give them all, like, dialogue. And neither do the scriptures when it comes to the disciples. So how do you portray all 11 of these guys and the whole Christian community and stuff? It's a challenge for writers to do this in the modern way of telling stories and the way films are produced. So, you know, like when we looked at AD, The Bible Continues, how do they solve that? Well, they don't have all 11. They just cut a whole pile of them out. Here, at least, they have all 11, and some of them they give more to do than other ones. But again, it's not really deep and rich and full like you might get actually from reading Scripture itself and from letting Scripture interpret Scripture to put together a picture of the whole character. And remember that individual has all of their experiences with them, even if you're only seeing them for a couple minutes on screen.
Two more questions for you with regard to the movie, and this is one that always I find curious. That is, how it depicts Jesus. Obviously, the crucifixion of Jesus is depicted here, but how it depicts Jesus after the resurrection, before, and often it's just kind of gauzy, you know, camera angles, and then he's just Mr. Zen, kind of. I'm really not even fully a character in any way. How does this film depict Jesus after his resurrection?
This is better. This isn't where I'd like to see it, you know, like a really, again, like that whole really full picture of everything, but it's better. So that Son of God movie that we reviewed in 2014, that one, it's like surfer dude Jesus, and it's really a narrow picture. It's not that good. This one is much better, and there is a really good conversation that Clavius has with Jesus, and it's like an 8 out of 10. Like, there's this one moment in it where you're, like, dying for Jesus to say, Clavius, I forgive you, and it doesn't happen. But other than that, it's a really interesting conversation and really well done. And what they did, apparently, is that before that actual, they filmed that part, Joseph Fiennes, like the actor who plays Clavius, and then this Cliff Curtis, who's a Maori guy who looks more Middle Eastern than, you know, he's got a darker complexion and, like, he doesn't look like, you know, some Scandinavian Jesus, right? This Cliff Curtis, they never talked. So that conversation would actually be the first time, like, on screen that they ever talked with each other when they shot that scene, which is kind of interesting. So they do a good job with some of that stuff with him. And, you know, like, there's a great moment where Jesus heals a leper. Even after the resurrection, he walks up and heals this leper. And Clavius is witness to that, and so are the rest of the disciples. And the question was, why were you following this guy? And, you know, you know, it's like, look, he's going to do it. And he walks over and he, like, heals this guy. So it's better. It's better than what you normally see. It's not quite where I would like to see it, but it is an improvement by far.
Finally, then, there's some information on just the kind of the production company that's been putting stuff like this together for a while that you'd like to discuss here at the end.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of important to notice that, like, this is a combined effort. So a lot of movies these days, you know, it's not the monolithic single company that does it all. So this is a Sony Pictures picture, and it's also connected to Columbia Pictures. But part of Sony Pictures is something called Affirm Films. Now, this is a kind of a, I guess, a division of Sony Pictures that produces movies that are directed really towards evangelicals. So, but not just evangelicals watch it. Like, lots of Lutherans and other people will watch these movies because they're very overtly Christian. And while this movie is clearly a Christian movie, it's a religious movie, like they made movies like Mum's Night Out and Courageous and Fireproof. But really, this is one of the first ones of these movies that they've produced that I had any inkling or desire to actually see. And I think the thing to remember with this is that, you know, while a lot of these movies are fairly substandard, and while Risen is not going to win a bunch of Oscars or anything, it is a cut above what you normally get from this particular group, and it is probably a bit better. And one day, like a company like Affirm Films, one day they're going to hit one out of the park. And here, you know, if we use a baseball analogy or whatever, they got to second base, I suppose, like on right off the plate on this one. It's better than what you normally get. It's not perfect. It's not a perfect film, but it's got some really interesting things in it.
Folks, you can read Pastor Ted Giese's review of the movie Risen at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. And Ted, we're looking forward to having you back in the near future to respond to some of our listeners' questions and comments as they watch Risen as well.
That would be great. I look forward to it.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Wendy Wright, Vice President of the Center for Family and Human Rights based in New York. We're going to be discussing with her an abortion case, the first abortion case in front of the Supreme Court in nearly a decade. And it has to do not only with what abortion does to the child, that is, take the child's life, but also what it does to the mother. We'll discuss it with her right after this.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
You've enjoyed our Looking Forward to Sunday Morning interviews with Pastor David Peterson. Did you know that there's a book with more than 60 of his Lent and Easter sermons, including daily readings for all of Lent? It's called Thy Kingdom Come. Find out more and purchase it online at emmanuelpress.us. Make Thy Kingdom Come part of your devotional life during the Lenten and Easter seasons. emmanuelpress.us. Thy Kingdom Come by Pastor David Peterson.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Joining us each week through the November elections, journalist Molly Hemingway of The Federalist and Mark Hemingway of The Weekly Standard.
I don't think anybody who's thinking rationally actually thinks that Donald Trump would be good on issues of marriage, abortion, religious freedom.
It's been reported that, you know, one of the few soft spots in Trump's support among Republicans is that of weekly churchgoers.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth, Issues Etc.